Well, good afternoon, and welcome to Hoboken Grace. I just want to echo what John said. Hopefully, if this is your first time with us, you've made yourself right at home. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Chris High. I'm the lead pastor here at Hoboken Grace, and something just fell behind me. That scared me. I'm like, no one's supposed to be back there. But today we're celebrating so many different things. We're coming out of last week, which was incredible. I don't know if you had the opportunity to be with us on Easter morning, but last week across our different services in our three locations, we had the opportunity to share the message of Jesus Christ with over 920 people. Just unbelievable. Unbelievable day, unbelievable celebration, and just really looking forward to what God's going to do with that as that message enters into those individuals' lives and we begin to struggle through it and wrestle through it. And hopefully for those of you who invited people who came, you're continuing in that conversation with them about Jesus Christ and what he wants to do in their lives and the opportunity that he's given them. And then so we're celebrating everything that happened last weekend. And then coming out of that, my wife and I had the opportunity to go to Puerto Rico this past week, which is why I'm a little bit darker than I was last week when I was here with you. And we had an incredible vacation, and it was a vacation, which is rare for us because we have three little kids. And I tell people when they become parents, right, you go, when you leave to go somewhere with your kids, it's not a vacation. You're making memories, okay? It's not a vacation. You're just making memories. But this week, we had the opportunity to leave the kids behind. We left them with the grandparents and said, like, don't Skype us. Don't call us. Like, if one of them dies, we'll find out when we get back. But we just took off, and we had an incredible, incredible week. One of the very first attenders here at Hoboken Grace, one of the individuals who's actually part of the very first service, got married this weekend, and I had the opportunity to be able to officiate that wedding there in Puerto Rico and just celebrating that. And then we come back today, and we're walking into this new conversation, Gifted. And I'm really excited about this because this is a long time in the making. And if you've been a part of Hoboken Grace throughout the past year, you've heard us talk about how 2014 for us is about two things. It's about minimizing and mobilizing. It's about minimizing the resources that are being used inside of our Sunday environments in order to be able to mobilize more and more people into the community to be able to love in incredible ways, in ways that are going to bring glory to God and display his love in the lives of people who largely have misunderstood him. And so as we walked into this year with this being our goal and what we're moving towards, we came together and said, okay, what is it that we need to understand about God, and what is it that we need to understand about how God works in order to be able to do that, for us to truly mobilize? And so we began the year and we walked through this incredible story that God's telling. And this truth that we don't find ourselves just existing in a void, but that we're in the midst of this story. There's a story that's been told before we came on the scene, this story that's going to continue after us. And this extraordinary story that God is telling and how we've been invited to be able to be part of that with him. The story is not about us, but about him and how we have the opportunity, however, to engage that story. And then we come to this conversation today in the series that we're about to walk through, and this idea of being gifted. Now we realized that when we used this word that there was going to be a variety of responses. And whether you responded when you saw us promoting it and informing you about it for the last couple of weeks, or whether your response was when you saw the title up here, even as I'm sharing with you this idea of gifted, It's interesting because people have unique responses to it. The definition of gifted is this: having exceptional talent or natural ability. And I think all of us interact with this differently. It has a lot to do with how you grew up and your experience with this idea of being gifted, and whether you were one of the gifted or whether you were kind of left out of the gifted, right? And it has everything to do with this journey that we're all on of trying to figure out who we're going to become, trying to figure out what it is that we're going to do, what is it that we're going to be. And from the time that you're about this tall, 3 years old, right around there, all of a sudden people begin to ask you, well, what are you going to become? What are you going to grow up to be? And it goes from people asking us to the point where we begin to ask ourselves that, well, when I grow up, what am I going to be? Some of you are still asking that question today. You're 35 years old, and you just, what am I going to be? When I grow up, it becomes a part of us, this idea of, okay, what am I going to do? What am I going to become? In my own life, this has taken all sorts of twists and turns, and I think in all of our lives, it takes twists and turns. And it has everything to do with this idea of being gifted, because it's not just that we want to figure out something to do. I don't think any of us start off and you're like, you know what, I just want to find something to do. So I'm just going to pick one thing, I'm just going to do that thing. No, it has everything to do with this idea of being gifted. In other words, what is it that is unique to me? What is it that fits me best? And looking at what I do well, then I try to figure out, okay, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to become? And we're trying to figure out, how am I gifted? And then how can I begin to utilize that? And in my own life, growing up, some of you have heard my story before. In high school, I didn't necessarily want to play professional basketball, but I wanted to play college basketball. And so that was kind of my whole life. I just poured everything into that and just practice until I found something that was more attractive to me than basketball, which was girls. And that destroyed my basketball career. And then it started taking all these twists and turns, and I was going to become an architect, I was going to become a lawyer, all these twists and turns. The whole time you're trying to figure out, okay, what is it that I'm good at? And then how can I begin to do that? How can I become that? And so as a child, you're good at math. And so everyone's like, oh, you're going to be an engineer. You're going to be an engineer. That's the experience for all of the Stevens students who are here right now. They were good at math. And so people looked at them and said, no, you're going to become an engineer. And others of you are good at music. And so they're like, oh, you're going to become an artist. That usually came from someone else besides your parents. Your parents more were like, no, you need to get good at math. And but there's all these twists and turns. It has everything to do with, what am I gifted at? And then how can I become that? How do I begin to do that? And there are all sorts of voices that speak to this. Some of those voices encourage it. Some of those voices encouraged you to try different things and to explore and to dream. And they spoke into your life and said, no, there is something unique about you. There's a giftedness about you. You're going to be able to do something unique in this world. You're going to be able to bring something unique to this world. And they pushed you to the extraordinary and try to find the extraordinary thing that you were meant to be part of. But then there were the other voices, the voices that discouraged. For some of you, this is your story. You just grew up in the midst of voices that told you over and over and over again, there's nothing extraordinary about you. There's nothing that will ever be anything but ordinary about you. Sometimes the voices come from outside, teachers, parents. But other times, the voices can come from inside. And for some of you may have grown up in environments that were really, really encouraging, but there's this voice inside of you, and not really sure where it came from or what it's about, but it just tells you over and over again, you're never going to make it. And you are encouraged to dream, you are encouraged to push forward, but that voice inside of you won. So you just decided to play it safe. There are all sorts of voices that speak into this, but not just voices, but then there's also experiences that speak into this. And so there's successes that pushed you forward, and you tried to use this gift that you had or this talent that you had, and so it pushed you forward. But then there's failures. And so you move into this and you dream, but then you hit the failure. You turn a different direction and you dream and you hit the failure. Some of you experienced this in college. It's why you had like 8 majors by the time you graduated. There are all sorts of voices, all sorts of experiences that speak into this. And unfortunately, what I've found is that for many of us, as we move through the journey, we begin the journey looking not just for something to do, but looking for something that actually fits me. Looking not just for something that will pay the bills, but looking for something that actually calls me. But life has an extraordinary ability to be able to move us away from what fits me to what feeds me. Extraordinary ability to move me away from what calls me to what clothes me. Extraordinary ability to take those who began as dreamers and to bring them to the point where they're just dreary. And you began the journey, and you began with this idea that it might be possible, that it might just be possible for you to be extraordinary. It might be possible that you would be able to be gifted. But I think for most of us, as we come together today, the dream of the extraordinary is gone. And I think for a lot of us, we feel like we find ourselves knee-deep in ordinary. And every time it seems that we try to make a move, it's like quicksand. It just sucks us in. And the dream of the extraordinary is gone. But then there's that little voice. That little voice that just won't go away. That voice that's buried deep, deep within your soul. The voice that usually you can drown out with the busyness of life, but that voice that just seems to somehow surface late at night, that voice that calls out and says, no, there's got to be more than just this. That voice that calls you back. It's interesting because that voice has the ability to be able to bring some pretty destructive things into our lives. As a matter of fact, I see it inside of marriages all the time. And individuals will make a commitment to one another. They set out on a journey to love one another. But as they walk this road, life screams into their souls that it's just the ordinary, that you're just meant for the ordinary. They find themselves drowning in ordinary, and there's that voice inside that says, no, there's got to be more. And so the husband decides to leave his wife, believing that the more will be found in the arms of another woman. Well, the wife decides to see if maybe the answer will be found in the arms of another man. That voice has a unique ability to be able to bring destruction. And so sometimes I think the way that we approach it is that we say, well, we just have to kill it. You just have to drown out that voice. You just have to push it down because it's a bad thing. It's not meant to be there. You just have to settle in. You just have to just pay the bills. Just make sure that everything's okay. Just make sure. And we begin to convince ourselves that our greatest hope, our greatest dream, is the ordinary. And I know for some of you, and I want to clarify this really quickly, because I know for some of you, you're here and you say, no, I dream all the time. I dream about the house we're going to own one day, or I dream about the vacations that we'll take, or the places that we'll be, or the places that we'll see. Can I be honest with you? Those are ordinary dreams. They're ordinary. They're not the dreams you began with. The dreams that you might actually be able to bring something extraordinary to the world. The dreams that the world might actually, in some way, shape, or form, be different because you walked it. Sometimes it can be tricky because we'll begin to believe, no, I do dream, but our dreams, they too have become ordinary. Our dreams too have become not about what calls me or what fits me, but what feeds me, what clothes me. And in the midst of it, it can be really easy. Because of the fact that that voice inside of us can lead to destruction in so many situations, it can be really easy for us to begin to believe that God is also the voice that's speaking into our lives and saying, listen, there's nothing extraordinary. You just simply settle for the ordinary. Just make sure that you take care of it. Just make sure you don't make any mistakes. Just make sure that you don't mess anything up. It can be really easy for us to begin to believe that God is one of those voices as well that's telling us to just settle. But I want to propose to you over the next 6 weeks that that could not be farther from the truth. That could not possibly be farther from the truth. And I believe that one of the reasons why that voice remains and one of the reasons why you, no matter how hard you try to kill it, that you can't get rid of it is because God has created you to not just be ordinary, but that God has created you for something far greater than that. And he planted it in the heart of who you are, the core of your soul, so that you would not be able to escape it. And what I want to do over the next few weeks is I want to walk you through how I believe God speaks to that in your soul and what he wants to do in and through you. That is extraordinary. You see, there's a part of the message of Jesus Christ that we often forget, that we often leave out. And to be honest, it's because for many of us, we don't necessarily understand it. And so we struggle with it. We don't know exactly what it looks like, and we can't necessarily control it. And so we don't necessarily know what to do with it, but it's unbelievably important. And what I want to do today is that I want to take us there, and I want to begin a journey where we begin to explore it. And inside the church, as we're sharing the message of Jesus Christ, you'll often hear about the cross. And as you go back to Good Friday, we talked about the cross. And we talked about this unbelievable moment where Jesus Christ takes everything that's broken about you, all the different ways in which we've dishonored God, and he takes that upon himself. In this unbelievable exchange, he takes all that's broken about us and gives us all that's beautiful about him. And he gives his life so that we can be forgiven. We talked about that on Good Friday, how we are forgiven. And then you come to Easter, what we celebrated last week, and how he rose from the grave and how he's brought back to life, and how as you step into this relationship with him, that he brings you back to life as well. And this unbelievable opportunity that we have to be able to be reconnected with God, that there would never be anything that would separate us from him, that there's not a moment of our lives that we have to live alone, that we can walk with him. That we can walk directly into his presence without any fear, without any hesitation. We talk a lot about the cross. We talk a lot about the resurrection and the beautiful thing that God has done there. But that is not the end of the story. The end of the story is not just that you're forgiven. The end of the story is not just that you're made new. There's something else that God is doing that all too often we forget about. And I'm going to take you to a passage. It's found in Acts chapter 1. And in Acts chapter 1, Jesus is talking to his followers. He's just about to leave them. And he says to them something that's amazing. Listen to what he says. It begins in Acts chapter 1, verse 6. It says, so when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? They still don't understand what's going on. Even after Jesus gives his life for them, they still don't understand the story that they find themselves in the midst of. He replied, "The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, and in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." He says, listen, not only have I forgiven you, not only have I made you new, but here's the deal, guys. Listen to me really closely as you continue forward with this story. He says, I'm going to send my Spirit. Listen to what it says. It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. He says, we're not done yet. We're not even close to done yet. He says, not only am I going to forgive you, not only am I going to make you new, but I'm going to send my Spirit. And my Spirit is going to indwell you, and you will receive power. Now, the fullness of what he's talking about there isn't understood for quite some time. And it's not actually understood until the church begins to experience this. And as the church begins to experience this, they don't know what to do with it. And they don't know how to be able to interact with it. And so the passage that I want to walk us through for the next couple of weeks is actually found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, this unbelievable leader named Paul, who's being used by God in unbelievably powerful ways inside this story, he's writing to this church in Corinth. And this church in Corinth is wrestling through what the Spirit is doing in people's lives and trying to figure out what this looks like and how this works. And he writes to them to begin to instruct them in this. And he's talking about the powerful way that the Spirit is working in people's lives. And he begins to talk to them about how they should interact with it. That's exactly what I want to talk about for the next 6 weeks as we walk through this passage, and we're going to break this thing down. And I think there's some unbelievably beautiful things that God has to teach us in here about what it means to be gifted. Listen to how he starts off. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4, it says, "There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it's the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other." Now, the key word that I want you to focus in on here is this, is given to each of us. Jesus says, listen. We're not even close to done yet. He says, the Spirit's going to come, and he's going to do something in you that you cannot begin to comprehend. You will receive power. And Paul's writing to the church at Corinth, and he's saying, you need to understand something. When the Spirit of God indwells you, when you step into this relationship, when you are forgiven and made new, the Spirit of God indwells you. This is why we say every week at Hoboken Grace that God is not distant, but that he is here. And you can engage this conversation with him because he is here. The Spirit of God is here. It says that it will indwell you, and it's going to give you a spiritual gift, something that is beyond you. Something that is beyond anything that you could have ever possibly thought that you could do on your own. And I love how he begins this, because as he begins to talk to them about how to interact with it, as he begins to talk with them about what it looks like inside the church, he begins and he's very, very clear, because he wants them to understand, no, this comes from the Spirit, right? Go back to verse 4 here. It says, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but is the same God who does the work in all of us. In other words, listen, he wants them to understand as they begin the conversation. And I think it's crucial for you to understand as we begin the conversation. This doesn't have anything to do with you. This doesn't have anything to do about how you're extraordinary. This doesn't have anything to do with this unbelievable talent that you have. He says, no. This is a gift. And it's so important that we understand this as we begin this conversation. Because if at any point in this conversation you begin to think a lot of yourself, if at any point in this conversation, as you're interacting with this idea of being gifted, you begin to think that you're something special, then you've missed it. So he begins and he's like, listen, this isn't about you feeling in some way, shape, or form that you are special. He says, no. This is about you understanding just how special your God is. This isn't about us thinking much of ourselves, but about us thinking much of him. And the unique thing is that as God comes to you and he interacts with that voice that just says, there's got to be more, he doesn't come to you and say, you know what, you're right, you're unique. He doesn't come to you and say, you know what, you're right, you're extraordinary and you have something extraordinary to bring to the world. He doesn't come to you and say that. He says, no. He says, even though you're ordinary, I'm going to send my spirit. And he's going to do something extraordinary through you. Even though you're ordinary, when the Spirit comes, you'll receive power. And in the midst of this unbelievably extraordinary story, you will be gifted to do something extraordinary, to be part of it in a unique and extraordinary way. So he comes to the church at Corinth and he says, listen, this isn't about you. This isn't about how unbelievably special you are. He says, no, but you believe, you serve an amazing God who has not just forgiven you, not just made you new, but in a God who's through his Spirit has gifted you to be able to bring something extraordinary to this mission. To bring something extraordinary to this story. And make no mistake, it's all about mission. I don't know if you caught that in the conversation between Jesus and his disciples. He says, the Spirit will come upon you and you will receive power so that you can live out the mission. And I love this about Jesus Christ, because I believe exactly what we talked about last week, that Jesus Christ, that he came so that you could be with him and that he could be with you. And I think it's unbelievably important that there are times when we are just with him, soaking him in. But most of our time with him is not going to be just sitting still. Most of our time with him is going to be going somewhere. And I think this is one of the reasons why when you hear Jesus inviting people into this, when you hear Jesus calling people into this, he doesn't say, oh, listen, this is what I want you to do. I want you to come sit with me. There are very few times where you hear him say that. Almost every time as he's inviting people into this, he's like, listen, I want you to follow me. Why? Because we're going somewhere. We have something that needs to be done. There's a mission that needs to be accomplished. And we began this conversation. I talked about the opportunity that we had last week to share the message of Jesus Christ with all of these people. But the truth is, even last week, as we come close to over 1,000 people that we're able to share the message of Christ with, even as I celebrate that, in the back of my mind, there's a number that runs through my head over and over and over again. You see, inside this city, there's 50,000 people. We haven't even begun to scratch the surface. And Jesus comes and says, I've forgiven you. I've made you new. And now I've empowered you. So let's go. Let's go. Because there's a mission to be accomplished. And I have the ability to do something extraordinary through you. Even though the truth is that you're ordinary. Even though the truth is that I'm ordinary. Jesus comes and says, no. I'm going to take you out of that. Because I'm going to give you my Spirit. and you get to be part of an extraordinary story in an extraordinary way because you have been gifted. And it's interesting because oftentimes when we come to passages like this, we don't necessarily know what to do with them. But because we haven't, at least for many of us, we haven't necessarily experienced good examples of what this looks like. Or we haven't really experienced situations in which we've seen this happen. I think this is one of the reasons why the church in Corinth is struggling, because they're beginning to experience God working through people, but they don't really know what that looks like. And we're going to get into that further as we work through this passage and look at what that looks like and how we interact with each other in that. But I think sometimes when we come to passages, and not just this one, but passages in general that we don't necessarily understand, our temptation is just to move past them. And I've heard people teach on these passages, or as they're reading through and teaching through a book, they'll begin to teach on these passages. And when they come to these passages, they don't necessarily know what it looks like, and they don't necessarily know how it works, and so they just read faster, right? And just like hoping that they can get to the end of it and get it to something that they understand, and just hoping that they can read fast enough through it that no one will ask them questions about it afterwards. Or sometimes we come to these passages that we don't understand, and so we just try to explain them away. So we look at it and say, well, you're just good at talking. That must be what it's talking about. But when you look at the passage for what it is, and again, we're going to get into it more as we walk through this conversation, there's more to it than that. This isn't about the ordinary. There's something extraordinary to this. What if it's true? What if God's actually telling us the truth? What if the Spirit of God actually does indwell you? What if there are not a few who are gifted? What if you are gifted? And the Spirit of God wants to move powerfully through you. What if it's actually true? Do you want to miss it? I don't. There's no way. I will not be okay with coming to the end of this journey and missing it if this is true. No way. What if, not because of how you're special, but what if because of how special He is? He's not just telling an extraordinary story. But what if He wants you, through His power, to be an extraordinary part of it? What if there are not just a few who are gifted, but you are gifted? I want to invite you on a journey today, a journey for the next 5 weeks, in which we not only not only talk about this idea of giftedness, but remember, this is about a mission, and I don't believe he just wants us to know that we're gifted. I believe it's essential then that we understand how we are gifted so that we can begin to utilize it inside this mission, inside this story. I want to invite you on a journey to discover if just maybe, God's telling the truth. And I want to invite you today to begin a conversation with him for the next 5 weeks. One prayer. Every day, one prayer. God, I want to know how I'm gifted. God, I want to know how I'm gifted. And let's see if just maybe, he tells us. Will you pray with me? Father, I pray for faith. I just pray that you would give us the ability to trust you. To trust you that you have the ability to do extraordinary things with ordinary people. To trust you that not only have you forgiven us, not only have you made us new, but that you have gifted us, that you have given us a unique ability to be able to bring something into our family and into the world, something that's powerful, something that's extraordinary, not of ourselves, but of you. Father, I pray that this conversation would not lead for one moment to pride. I pray that it would not for one moment lead us to think much of ourselves, but it would bring us to awe at you. That every time we encounter you, you continue to amaze us by what you're doing. Father, I just ask that your spirit would move in this room. That this would not be an intellectual conversation. That this would not just be something that we engage with our minds, but that we would begin to crave what we once craved. But not in a way that leads to destruction, but in a way that draws us to you. That we would begin to crave the extraordinary. That the dreamer in us would wake up. And we would begin to dream with you about how you have gifted us. About how we can be an extraordinary part of your extraordinary story. In Jesus' name.